listening to TV Madness with your host, Makisha Madden-Toby. Today, we'll be talking to Jason Griffin. He covers TV and critiques TV for TVAholic.com. That's TVAHOLIC.com. He's also one of the hosts of the TVTimes3.com podcast. Thanks for doing the show, Jason.
Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. So you know I can't wait to talk about Walking Dead, right? Because I'm obsessed with the show. Like, I was so nervous in the last episode. This one with the quarantine area and Herschel, and you saw it, right?
Yeah,
ruining it for you. Okay, what did you? I mean, I loved it, and I'm so glad that he didn't. Spoiler alert: if you have not seen this episode, please stop listening now. But I'm so glad that he didn't die, and I just knew he was gonna get it. I just thought he was gonna die. Did you? Or what did you think of the episode?
The episode as a whole, it didn't quite grip me from the beginning, but it all sort of worked out in the end. But I think that was because of the way the previous episode ended, that the thing I was most looking forward to was what was going to be the response of the group when everybody finds out that he sent Carol packing. But then that storyline sort of gets punted for an episode. But then apparently, based on the preview for the next week, it looks like it gets punted for a couple of episodes.
Really? Oh.
Well, the next episode looked to be like
governor centric.
It's going to be more about the governor and like what's he been up to since then or something like that. So I don't know if we're how much we're going to get with the.
I hope they can't do that to us. I would be so upset if they were to decide. Oh no, we still aren't going to tell Daryl. Daryl has questions, okay? And
yeah,
plus,
Daryl's Herschel's like, hey, go talk to Rick, and then they. That's the end of the episode.
I mean, it was one of those things, like, do you remember when you were a kid and you were like, you'd ask your parents, like, where's, you know, Scruffy the dog, you know, and they're like, go talk to grandma. You're like, what? That's never good when you ask a question about someone and they say, go talk to this person. So, yeah, I don't know about that, but I hope that it comes full. Because I want to see how Daryl responds, and I want to see how Tyrese responds. Because I think they're going to have to be either told at the same time, or it's going to have to be one of those things where, like, one person's happy and one person's not, or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was just one of those things that you're like, really? You're leaving me in the same spot where I still want to know the same thing that I did at the end of the last episode.
Now hold up, Jason. So you're not gonna give them credit for like the other exciting 40 minutes of the episode. You're cheated us.
Well, it just took me a little while to like get into the episode because like that was the thing I was like most looking forward to.
Oh,
and then it was
okay.
Sort of became this, you know, kind of bottle episode that was just about Herschel and inside the quarantine area for the most part.
But it was an opportunity for Herschel to shine. I thought Scott Wilson did an amazing job.
Great performance. the whole thing of him, you know, sort of being able to stay strong through all of that. But then, you know, he goes to a quiet place at the end and, you know, breaks down, you know, a little bit.
Yeah.
That whole story arc, you know, worked really well. I didn't really think that any, like, main character was really going to die off.
I thought Sasha was going to die. Glenn was coughing up weird liquid. I thought he could have died because, you know, and I mean, I'm, again, spoiler alert, but he's already dead in the comic book. So I was like, okay, this is not going to kill him now. And they're like, no, we're not. And I'm like, oh God. Like I just, and then I was like, okay, well now Herschel, he's going to die after saving everybody. And they were like, no, he's fine too.
Yeah. Well, it just seemed like to me, it's like, that'd be just such a weak way for like, have all these characters have grown these strong characters and then they're going to get taken out by, you know,
basically the flu or something.
Yeah. a really bad case of the flu. But overall, I think that's been an interesting storyline that they've been covering this season because we've known since, you know, the first season that it's, you know, that the, you know, the actual, if you die, you're going to become one of these things.
Right, because everybody's affected.
But they haven't done much until, you know, this season really where the possibility of you getting sick and dying and something like that, and on a mass scale, you know, something that's being contracted and sent around to, you know, that you can relatively easily catch, and, you know, what that means for, you know, a group. I mean, it's become the ultimate. It's like you everybody should pretty much be like sleeping in their own cell that's locked. You know,
well, like, I mean, that's the thing. That's a really good point you just made, because I didn't think about that. If you look at it in that way, then none of the main characters were affected. None of the people who, like, we really care about were ever really gonna. I mean, like I said, it looked like Glenn and Sasha, and she's not really technically a main character, but she affects a main character, which is Tyrese. She's his sister. So if she would have died, he would have just, I think he just would have been completely crazy. Because he's already veering into, like, super crazy territory. And then you have, like I said, Glenn, who almost could have, and then Herschel put himself in peril by just being there. So, yeah, but you're right. It's sort of, I don't know. But I like it. I like that they had to do something to make multiple threats. You can't just have the threat be the governor. He was not in the first. He hasn't been in the first four or five episodes. So until now, he's lurking around the outside of the prison. So,
yeah, it made for, you know, very interesting but it's also been one of those things that you're just like, it's been quite a long time since, you know,
since the government,
since this you know, zombie apocalypse has started, you know, like whatever started it, it's been a decent period of time. You would have think that people would have dealt with people dying and, you know, of natural causes and coming back as a zombie, you know, before, you know, really in a little bit last season. And then, but this season has really brought that danger to light, which has been interesting. You know, when the, you know, the big bad is the common cold.
Right. But the interesting thing is, like, now that Michonne and Bob and Darryl and Tyrese have brought back the antibiotics or whatever they needed to, like, get this under control, now the governor's looking around. It's almost like they tag team. Are you done, flu? Because I'm coming in, said the governor. Like, oh, okay. Because that's weirdly timed. But, yeah. It's just, I think it's what the show needs. I think that, and I think, like you said, even though it was very much a bottle episode, I think that the show needed to see, I think fans needed to see sort of Herschel be that guy. Because we, up until this point, he was just a farmer. I did know he was pretty tough with a shotgun after season two. But I didn't know that he would be able to, like, sort of multitask and rise to the occasion and fight zombies and fight people's colds and, you know, boost people's morale and do all this stuff at once, so... Speaking of horror, I'm also into American Horror Story Coven. What about you? Do you like that this season? Are you liking the show overall this season, or do you like, what do you think of season three?
Well, I'm not a big, you know, horror person, so I didn't really watch. I watched a little bit of the first season. I didn't watch any of the second season. But when they started finally playing the ads showing what the story might be on this, you know, not just the spooky floating witches type of thing, sort of caught my interest. I don't know if I'm just on that, I've jumped on the witch bandwagon with everybody else, you know, like witches are the new zombies.
Witches are the new zombies.
But,
or witches are the new really vampire? I don't know.
I really like this, you know, this storyline and what they've got going, with this. They tell some, you know, some interesting stories within that. And, you know, so there's some different, twists and turns and,
They even had zombies.
Yeah, that's right.
The more technical ones, because she did the voodoo, which is where zombies sort of come from, which is voodoo. And I thought that was really fascinating. And I love Angela Bassett. I love Kathy Bates. I think Jessica Lange is amazing. I just think, how awesome is that for them to have all of these actresses in their 50s and older, like, just bringing it. Like, it's like the acting Olympics. You're, like, watching people bring their A game every week. And it's just, I love it. I think it's fantastic. I think it's one of the best casts on television right now. Is that too much? Would you say? Would you agree with me? Or you're like,
well, I don't know. It's hard to say no. It's like, what do you mean Angela Bassett and Kathy Bates and Jessica Lange are part of the best cast on TV?
I keep waiting for somebody to challenge me, like, no, you're so wrong. No one asked.
That's terrible. They're just owning it in.
Yeah. Those old babes need to sit down. No one has said that, thankfully. No one has said that. But, yeah, they're fantastic. I really, really am enjoying this sort of seeing them together. I will say I've regretted that there haven't been more scenes with Jessica Lange and Angela Bassett, because sort of she's in this beauty shop voodoo capital or whatever, or voodoo hub, and doing her thing. And then, like, so I want to see more interaction with them. between
the
three.
Yeah, you gotta figure, you know, like the truce has been broken. You got to get more FaceTime between between the two sides here.
Yeah.
Coming up in the second half of the season.
Yeah, they have to. And the Axeman thing is fascinating because, I mean, like, that's the fun thing. I will give, you know, Ryan Murphy and Brad Falchuk the credit, and FX too, but specifically them as the, you know, creators and executive producers behind the show, that they actually tap into history more, especially in this third season, I feel like, even more so in the other two seasons, with it, by having it set in New Orleans. They're tapping into now New Orleans history with Madame LaLaurie and Marie Laveau and now the X-Men thing. I just think that that's fascinating. There's so much there. There's so much rich history in New Orleans. And for them to take it to a horror level and tap into that is a lot of fun to see, too, I think. And because I didn't know anything about the X-Men until last night's episode, and I was, like, Googling the crap out of them. So I'm like, this is great. I just really think this is a clever way. I definitely think it's not hard to be better than season two, because season two was so bad. It wasn't awful, but it just wasn't as good as this. Did you watch season two?
No, I've heard that they was just like all over the place.
Like, it was. They had Nazis and aliens, and it was just like, what? Nuns.
Yeah,
and
somebody said they kept waiting for the kitchen sink because it had everything else.
Yeah, it was over the top. But this, I feel like he sort of focused more, a lot of his energy and attention onto these like three or four characters. There are some
this
sort of
does seem to have a sort of a cohesive kind of story arc, and with lots of, you know, interesting backstory to keep pulling from about these characters, and, you know, and like you said with New Orleans, it kind of has that mystique to it already, you know, of witches and mm-hmm. jazz and all kinds of things, and so it's been interesting to watch, and I like shows that sort of take real things into account and mm-hmm. sort of tie them into, you know, they may fictionalize them a little bit or mm-hmm. whatever, but it makes for an interesting, you know, it's not quite as you know, wacky as something like Sleepy Hollow, but it's similar type of thing of tying into real people and real events.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. I'm digging it. I totally love season three. I think this is the best season so far. Season one was really good because it was a lot about ghosts, and the scariest episode of season one for me was the home invasion episode, which actually like gave me nightmares. I was just like, oh my God, because somebody could actually break into my house. And that has nothing to do with ghosts. But overall, I think this season three is so solid and so strong, and the cast is so strong that I think a lot of people are going to, by the end, if he continues along this trajectory, because, you know, a lot of people are, like, very nervous about Ryan Murphy because they're like, oh, it's good, it's going to get bad. So I'm like, I believe in him. I don't want to say it's going to get bad, and I'm going to say that if it continues along this trajectory, then it's going to be the best season of the show so far. So it's going to be fun.
Well, I think this type of model for this type of show of doing, you know, each season doesn't have to tie, you know, mm-hmm. to a completely new story.
Mm-hmm.
It allows them to, you know, go into that horror genre and play with it, but mm-hmm. in a, you know, a completely new way, even with familiar faces from season
right.
to season.
I love that.
But you're not having to figure out a way to make these characters the same, or, you know, because to tell these types of stories, you would have had to have that first family, like, move all over the place. You know?
I know. And I think initially they said I think he said he was going to, like, do a bunch of different houses all over the country that were haunted. I'm glad he scrapped that, too, because it's like, oh, we've been there and done that. So it's more fun, I think, for him to just sort of go back to the drawing board and just go right into witches, which I think witches are awesome. So I love it. Speaking of witches, just kidding. There's no transition. There's none. I just made that up. Homeland. Before I let you go, Homeland season three. People are either, it seems like, extreme reaction. Sort of reacting extremely. Either they love it or they hate it. What do you think of season three? Have you been watching it?
Yeah, I've been watching. It's kind of all over the place. Well, these first few episodes,
they were bad. I didn't like the first few episodes.
You know, there's been too many weird things that, like, where we are now with, you know, them turning this high-ranking Iranian official and stuff like that, and, you know, giving him a backstory that ties in with Saul, and And, you know, that's the stuff that you're like, you want from Homeland, you know. You want to see Carrie trying to figure things out or do stuff. But this, the way the season began, there's just been a few too many things that when they happen, they're just like, they feel like they were just, well, it's a TV show, so everything is technically contrived, but it felt really, really contrived.
Are you talking about the Dana stuff? Because the Dana stuff had, like, and I'm sticking with the show, but the Dana stuff had me on edge because it was making me angry because it was just so stupid and pointless. It was just like, do you want us to hate Dana? Because you're doing a great job of making me hate her.
Well, it's been more of these twists that they keep dropping in that are supposed to be like a big twist. But then when you think back about everything that you've seen up till then, you're like, wait, I don't get it. How does that work? And then, you know, like the latest one being, apparently Carrie's pregnant. And you're like,
dude, what the hell?
No mention of that in the next couple episodes.
She's vomiting. She's peeing on sticks. And I'm like, what? What? And she's vomiting at a crime scene? I'm like, I can't take this. I can't.
Well, based
I don't know
on the number of them for weeks.
That, yeah, you know? Chick, how many pee sticks do you need? Like, is that I know she's supposed to be crazy, but they're going, I don't know.
But that's one of those things that it pops you out of the show for a minute where you go, wait a second. She was at the, you know, she was checked into the mental hospital.
Yeah.
And you're like,
trying to do the math.
The doctors at the mental hospital weren't in on the ruse. So, like, weren't they really giving her real medications? Was she, like, somehow really not taking it?
Well, she's been, and she's drinking vodka like Kool-Aid, man. She's just downing these drinks. Is that she's trying to, like, miscarry? Yeah. I don't know. It's just very, I don't know where they're going to go with that. They got to
But you're just like,
up.
Wouldn't a doctor do a blood test before they, you know, put you on a medication to make sure that some of these things aren't happening? I don't know. There's
oh,
just
that's
those
a good point.
Of,
I didn't even think about that.
There's just those little things that all of a sudden pop up in your head. But then, like, once they've gotten past that, where they are right now is interesting. This is the stuff to go to Homeland for is
the Saul and the Iranian guy, the stuff. Yes. And
the terrorism aspect, right. You know, the CIA tracking people down, even some of the stuff with, you know, the guy that's supposed to be taking over the CIA that wants to basically do away with all
human
intelligence. And
oh, my God. Where did he get
like
that guy?
Even if you buy for a moment that even if the CIA had been attacked, that the CIA would somehow now be like, well, we should just do away with it completely type of thing. Like it was or that it'd be up for, you know, just absolutely huge changes or something like that. I don't know. But it's been fun watching them go back and forth. I really like the end of the episode where Saul and Dardal are leaving and he tells his assistant, yeah, the senator got himself locked in the conference room.
I love
he
that. But
maintenance to help him out.
Could they make him less schmucky maybe? Because he's just so annoying and like it's like they had central casting and they're like, get this like schmuckiest like tax auditor type face guy you can find, make him as hateful and annoying as possible, and like make him Saul's adversary like, in action. Like this guy is too perfectly bad. Like he's too annoying. He's in this country. Like he's like the Iranian guy's in the country. We've got to stop him. I'm calling the president. And they're like, okay, here, go in. It was like something out of like Laurel and Hardy or something. Go in this room and make the call, and then they like turn the lights off and close the door. Yeah, but I mean, you're right. That's the kind of stuff you want to see from Homeland, not Carrie's pregnancy and not Brody in Venezuela or whatever that's about. Hopefully.
Yeah, that episode.
That was the
weird
worst episode.
Because,
that was the worst episode this season.
Well, I also don't get it. Like, this is the end of his Underground Railroad is basically stuck in this. this, you know, thing of prisoners. It's like, why does this guy want to keep him there? Why do they want to keep him, like, drugged out of his mind? Like, what is the – what? They don't want to turn him in for the
no,
millions of dollar
they
reward?
They alluded to the fact that they're keeping him for Carrie, right? Because he must
or something.
Be,
I don't
something.
Know. It's so weird. I didn't get that episode. It was like, well, we still have him in our cast. We got to give him at least something in the beginning.
He won an
the-
Emmy for this once, so we got to do something.
And – I mean, the other little thing that bothers you is they've conveniently tied it into that where this Iranian has been laundering his money is through the same place that now Brody is, you know,
dude,
hanging
and he's
out
like dropping these little cryptic I know who it is. It wasn't Brody.
And so ultimately, you can see that the storyline's ultimately going to end up in Caracas or wherever that is, with, you know,
in that high rise that was forgotten, that time and life forgot, and hope and everything good.
And it's just some of that stuff that you're just like, they've been so much better at these things that
the coincidences and the time
that you're just like, you know. Some of the, you know, even some of the stuff with the Brody family and Dana was semi-interesting to follow, you know, to a point. Follow, like,
that she tried to commit suicide. Was like, oh,
like,
really?
That's
sad. What
happened to somebody that is now related to, like, one of the most wanted people, you know, whether he actually, you know, Terry's the only one that thinks that he didn't actually do it.
Right.
So, like, what would it be like? I think that's an interesting storyline to follow, but then...
But that's,
they followed it along with she committed suicide, went on
or attempted to,
you know,
right.
Ran away. But then when she came back, she like stayed for what, like a couple of days, and then decided that she had to
changed her name, and then her poor mom, like worst teenage daughter ever. Like it's just like I can't.
Meanwhile,
take it.
The brother just seems to be perfectly fine with everything.
Nothing phases this kid. He's like, oh, my dad was a terrorist. All right. My sister's moving out. That's life. They don't know what to do with him, though. He's furniture. But you're not, Jason, and you're awesome. And I really enjoy talking to you about television. And my three favorite shows are most at least chat-worthy shows on television right now. The Walking Dead, American Horror Story, Coven, and Homeland. And, of course, you're watching it, and you have great opinions about it. And I'm thankful that you were available and that you talked to me about it. So thank you, Jason, for doing the show.
Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. So this is the part of the show where I thank everybody. So I'm going to thank Jason Griffin again because he's awesome. And he, again, is from TVaholic. Check him out. And he's also on the TVTimes3.com podcast. And he's awesome. And his podcast is way longer than mine, so you might want to check it out if you have some time because he's really good and he knows what he's talking about. We also have to thank our sponsor, Record Surplus in Santa Monica, the last record store. Visit RecordSurplusLA.com. NPR West, the amazing sound engineer that is Sean, who makes things happen. I get to work with you again. You're amazing. Thank you again. And you. Thanks for listening.